This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Canva.
6 years ago, Nick and I were designing the pitch deck for our media company.
Yeah, we didn't want it to look like some amateur college PowerPoint. We wanted to impress investors. So we made our first pitch deck on Canva.
Canva is the easy-to-use online design platform for presentations, social media posts, physical flyers, anything you can design.
Canva turns you into a digital Da Vinci, delighting your audience with design.
They got these color palettes that you can use. It makes your work look beautiful.
We used presentation templates that were available for free and then customized them for our company.
And guess what? That summer, we sold that company, Market Snacks, thanks to the deck we built with Canva.
Oh, and funny thing, we still use Canva today for all our design projects.
So Yetis, start designing today at canva.com.
Canva, designed for work.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Thursday, November 19th.
These stories are too good to mess around, Nick. I gotta get right into it.
This is the best one yet. Jack's not standing. He's not at a standing desk. I should point that out.
First pod in like 6 months that I've been seated.
Jack's like, this is Jack.
Low energy situation.
First story, Jack. What do we got?
You know the baby boomers. Welcome to the baby busters.
Snackers, Procter & Gamble, they got to whip out a whole new diaper strategy. Literally, that's actually a thing they're doing.
For our second story, Tesla just got tapped to join the S&P 500 club.
Shares jumped 9% because Jack and I heard the initiation ceremony. It's pretty good.
For our third and final story, it's the unicorn of the day, Duolingo. So I got to say Glückwünsche,
yep.
Mabruk,
okay.
And congratulazioni.
Jack, how do you translate $2.4 billion valuations? Do you have to use a 4X for that?
These are the questions.
But Snackers, before we jump into that wonderful mix of stories, we've got a stage 5 zucking alert.
Twitter just announced something called Fleets.
Jack, we're going to have to launch that hotline, 1-800-ZUCKING. We're going to have to make that happen.
Fleets is a fleeting, disappearing tweet, and it exists on your profile at the top in a circle around your profile picture.
Jack, where have we seen this before? Oh, yeah, it looks identical to Instagram stories.
Which looks identical to Snapchat.
More specifically, Twitter just zucked LinkedIn, which had zucked Pinterest.
Who previously zucked Facebook, who zucked its very own Instagram, who originally zucked the original zucking of Snapchat.
Which means that the original zucking was just copying someone else's product. It's basically plagiarism.
This feels less like plagiarism, more like a contagious disease.
Yeah, it does. So Snackers, Jack and I are pleased to announce we are launching our very own Robinhood Snacks Stories.
Robinhood Snack Stories. All you gotta do is...
Let's hit our three stories, Jack.
You tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robinhood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities.
Nope.
It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security.
Right.
Snacks is digestible, business news for you. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, /SIPC.
For our first story, Procter & Gamble's preparing for a shrinking pandemic birth rate baby bust.
Snackers, we may have a massive surplus of diapers in 2021. Beware.
Snackers, we know what you're thinking on this one. First of all, the bad news. Let's just get the bad news out of the way. There are going to be fewer cute
babies in 2021.
The good news, fewer baby shower gifts that you're obligated to buy.
Honestly, there's a good side to every coin on this thing. So Jack and I were looking at this story, and basically you got an opposite of the baby boomer situation going down. We're going through a straight up baby bust right now.
Experts estimate that 500,000 fewer births will happen in the United States in 2021.
That is 10 times a bigger drop than we saw from 2018 to 2019.
Babies born in 2021 are conceived in 2020, FYI.
Thank you, Dr. Kramer, on that one. That was helpful. Now, the precedent here, because there is one, happens to have happened a few times.
Yes. Actually, it turns out birth rates in the United States, they tend to correlate with the labor market. And the last big drop in the birth rate in the U.S. was in 2009.
Financial crisis, fewer babies. Pandemic crisis, fewer babies.
Here's the thing. Moms and dads like to make sure that they can afford a crib and maybe even college someday.
So Jack and I are looking at the numbers here, and you got 500,000 fewer births potentially next year. That would be a 14% drop from like the normal 3.7 million babies born in a typical recent year.
That means there's going to be 14% fewer customers for diapers.
Yes.
Or on the flip side, 14% too many diapers in this country.
You got a situation where one out of seven of your customers, boom, gone, disappeared.
2021 is going to be the best year ever for Captain Underpants.
Yes, it is. He's going to win.
Now, this diaper palooza of next year is a huge problem for Procter & Gamble and Kimberly-Clark, who own 80% of the U.S. market for diapers.
They're basically the truly and the white claw of the diaper industry right now.
Right, right. Procter & Gamble and Kimberly-Clark, they make Pampers and Huggies.
So here's what Jack and I find fascinating. Since you're only having a kid now, if you can afford it, they're pivoting all their diapers to the era of the fancy diaper. That's what we're calling it, at least.
Now, I'm having a kid, Snackers. I announced this a few months ago. So I feel like I'm the elephant in this room.
Yeah, things must be going pretty nice over at the Kramer household.
So Kimberly-Clark recognizes that people having babies are probably upscale. They're coming out with a plant-based diaper made partially of sugarcane.
Not a typo. This is like the Beyond Meat of diapers because it's also five times the price of the cheapest diaper out there.
Procter & Gamble, though, is trying to one-up them. Their new diapers, they basically come with an adjustable belt like pants, not the stretchy one-size-fits-all situation at Huggies.
No, these fancy new P&G diapers are more khakis than they are sweatpants. Your kid can like go to the boardroom at age three.
But Nick, Procter & Gamble is stepping it up with diapers that are techified.
Snackers, Jack and I had to sit down and stand back up when we heard this. Turns out Procter & Gamble has also partnered with Google for tech-infused diaper systems.
This diaper system includes monitors, sensors which can detect wetness, and then alerts that will buzz on your phone when that wetness is detected.
And because you gotta show off a system to really have a system, you gotta get the webcam too to confirm that wetness did in fact occur.
The webcam confirms the baby hasn't just taken off the diaper Stewie Griffin style.
So Procter & Gamble's looking at this situation. They have had to come out with so many fancy diapers that they previously had a category called super premium diapers. They now have a category called super, super premium, no joke.
I hope you can finance these diapers because this is like the Mach 8 from Gillette of diapers.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies making diapers over at Procter & Gamble?
If you're losing customers, test how much the remaining ones are willing to pay.
Snackers, let's look at the iPhone. First iPhone came out 2007. Was just $499 back then.
Apple didn't really jack up prices and test the limits of price on an iPhone until the sales numbers started to fall.
2019, they come out with an iPhone that's $1,450, their most expensive ever.
How do you make up for a drop in customers?
Jack, you raise prices.
How do you make sure they'll pay those higher prices?
Jack, you upscale the product to a silly degree.
Diapers and iPhones, same thing.
For our second story, Tesla finally gets the green light to join the S&P 500. They've been hoping for this.
That means, Nick, overnight, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of funds will dump money into Tesla stock.
All right, so before we talk about Tesla here, I mean, we just got to talk about this wild week for Elon. Wild week.
Well, he started it off by testing positive for COVID-19.
Yes, he did. That's a tough way to begin. We keep tested positive and then negative and then positive again, so going to round up to positive.
He is recovering well, though, so good for him.
And then his second favorite company, SpaceX, sent four Americans and one baby Yoda toy out into outer space.
And then yesterday, he passed Mark Zuckerberg on the list of world's richest people.
Yeah.
Hitting number three, trailing now only Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates.
Technically not a zucking, but kind of a zucking.
I didn't even think of that. Now, the reason for that last one,
His favorite number one company is Tesla.
Yeah, and Elon owns 21% of Tesla stock.
And guess what? Tesla just finally got the invitation to join the S&P 500 club.
Honestly, the initiation for this should be Elon has to read every single tweet he's ever sent out ever.
Now, the S&P 500, Snackers, as a reminder, is a stock index that includes the 500 most valuable U.S. stocks.
And if you're Tesla, you've had to wait for this invitation to the S&P 500 because they happen to have an inconvenient profitability requirement.
Some clubs have a dress code. Other clubs have a profitability code.
Mr. Kramer, you're going to have to wear the blazer in the dining room at all times.
Now, Tesla, finally, after 10 years as a publicly traded company, has reached four consecutive quarters of profitability. They actually just hit five.
And the S&P 500 index, it's weighted based on how valuable all those 500 big companies are.
So Apple's the most valuable company in the index, worth $2 trillion. It carries the most of all the other companies, 6.5% of the whole index.
So Tesla jumping in with its profitable blazer, it's joining the S&P 500 as like the 10th most valuable company in the index.
Based on today's stock price. And starting December 21st, Tesla's in the club.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Tesla?
This isn't just a vanity win for Elon.
No, it's not.
It literally increases demand for Tesla stock.
Snackers, you may have noticed Tesla stock jumped 10% yesterday. And that is because of stock funds.
Like ETFs or mutual funds.
They're basically huge stock smoothies.
An S&P 500 fund is like a huge stock smoothie that includes bits and tons of 500 other stocks.
And think of those companies that are like the blueberries, the strawberries, the chia, the cashew, the whole nut situation.
The S&P 500 index fund, it's one of the most popular retirement funds out there. And the ingredients are perfectly proportional to the S&P 500.
So the S&P 500 index fund is 6.5% Apple stock. It's 4.8% Amazon and a little of the other 498.
That's because the S&P 500 index is 6.5% Apple, 4.8% Amazon, and a little of the other 498.
And on December 21st, that stock smoothie is going to include a dash of Tesla too. Think of it like the bee pollen.
This means on December 21st, a bunch of heavy hitting fund managers who are like slinging around billions of dollars, they're going to buy a ton of Tesla stock to update their index funds.
Basically, they have to buy a ton of Tesla stock because they have to reflect the S&P 500 index.
This is like, imagine you have a textbook that you've written as a professor and suddenly your textbook just got added to the Econ 101 required reading list that has like 7,000 students.
So in anticipation of all these buy orders driving up the stock on 12/21, Tesla is up 20% since Monday. For our third and final story, Jack, Wiedersehen or arrivederci?
Trotz des schlechten Wetters. That's the genitive. The hardest of all the figures of speech.
Trick question. The answer is both. Unicorn of the day, Duolingo, just raised $34 million to hit a $2.4 billion valuation.
But Duolingo is no Spotify.
No, it's not. But Snackers, we are talking about the biggest thing out of Pittsburgh since, what do you think, Jerome Bettis?
I was thinking Bane because, you know, Batman 3, it's all in Pittsburgh, actually.
It's all in Pittsburgh. It's a lot of Pittsburgh. Oh, but also maybe the biggest thing since Pittsburgh Black.
Pittsburgh Black is underrated. Black steak on the outside, red on the inside.
Yeah. If you know, you know.
Duolingo is a learning app that teaches you how to speak like 40 different languages.
Full disclosure, I'm doing this on the daily with Italian, Parlo Italiano ogni giorno.
If you open up the app like Nick does every morning, you see a little owl who's going to guide you through conjugating verbs into the subjunctive to.
Oh God, you're like, honestly, can we just use the past imperfect every time? It's the worst.
But what if you need to say, I would have wanted to if I could have wanted to?
Can I just say, I did?
Now, this is actually a company in the ed tech industry, which is education technology.
And it turns out ed tech is just having like a total treat yourself moment right now.
Your eyes are tired of Netflix. Your legs are exhausted of Peloton.
Yes, they are.
And you're still trying to cross off your list one of those quarantine resolutions you pledged back in April.
Which is probably getting back on the board with your Italian language skills, which is why people are jumping into Duolingo.
Duolingo's revenue has doubled to $200 million in the past year, and it's now the highest grossing app in EdTech. Congratulations, Ed.
But what Jack and I find most fascinating about Duolingo is how it used to make money.
Its first customers were companies that needed something translated. Like say, GE needed their washing machine user manual translated into another language.
So basically, here's how it would go down. That GE manual would be given to Duolingo, who would feed it as text into the app, which you would translate as part of your lesson, which they would then crowdsource all the answers to deliver to GE what they think the correct translation for that text was.
So GE gets their washing machine user guide translated into Arabic.
Yes, they do.
Based on 10,000 homework assignments for students trying to learn Arabic on the Duolingo app.
So that's awesome, but they don't do that anymore.
Now it's got a pretty standard freemium model.
Yeah, so basically some people are paying for premium courses on Duolingo. Others are getting Duolingo for free, but you're seeing a mattress ad.
And Duolingo CEO, they're simply following Spotify's trajectory, but we see one problem with that.
So Jack, what's the takeaway mattress for our buddies over at Duolingo?
Spotify is the gold standard of freemium conversion.
Snackers, converting users from free to paid is an art form that Spotify has mastered.
And Duolingo's numbers, they show how important it is to convert people from free to premium and just how far away they are from Spotify's gold standard.
So Snackers, here are Duolingo's numbers. 4% of Duolingo's language learners are paying for the service, and yet they make up 85% of Duolingo's total revenues.
So that tiny subset that's paying for Duolingo, they are way more valuable to the company than the ones that are just like creating some ad revenue.
But the problem is, there are just so few of them.
Spotify, on the other hand, they have 144 million paid users who pay 10 bucks a month. And that's out of 320 million total users.
So Spotify has managed to convert, get this, 45% of its listeners to pay for the service. Meanwhile, Duolingo is only converted 4%.
True financial fluency for Duolingo requires figuring out how to better monetize users.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
500,000 fewer babies are expected next year in the United States.
So the diaper giants are adding bells and whistles to test your willingness to pay.
For a second story, Tesla stock is a required ingredient to all S&P 500 index funds starting December 21st.
So the stock price bounced 20% higher, making Elon Earth's number three richest man.
For a third and final story, Duolingo claims their business model is just like Spotify's, the freemium model.
Only issue here, Spotify does the freemium model, you know, way better than Duolingo or anyone else in the entire world. Now, time for our snack fact of the day. This one tweeted in by Nate Evans in lovely Santa Barbara, California.
Nate heard us mention a couple days ago that Sonos, the speaker company, is based in Santa Barbara, California.
I think that's considered a competitive advantage, Jack, for the company.
It turns out, I totally agree, Nick, the hottest temperature ever recorded on planet Earth was in Santa Barbara. 133 degrees way back in the 1850s.
They got to enjoy that record until 1913 when Death Valley nearby hit 134 degrees.
By the way, you may have heard that Death Valley hit 129 degrees this summer. That is hot, but not even close to the 134 degree record.
Jack, Molly and I had a dinner in Santa Barbara a few months ago. It was so hot, it was the hottest wave of heat I've ever felt.
Shocking, because it's on the ocean.
Yeah, people looked at each other. We were concerned.
Nick, I'm going to take this home by asking the Snackers to HYHYSD today.
Jack, I'm going to walk it into the living room with a have you had your snacks daily, spread it far, spread it wide.
Snackers, this was great. We'll see you tomorrow.
Can't wait. If you know, you know. And before we go, Snackers, what is congratulations for Tuan Nguyen, a new Jeopardy contestant from Pomona, California, also a snacker?
What is mattress?
Derek and Flo, congrats on the anniversary over in Nairobi, Kenya.
And happy anniversary to Ian and Teresa in Virginia Beach.
And happy birthday, Aaron Pekarek in Parma, Ohio.
And Christine Lee in Toronto, Canada.
And Naira Ramagiri in Houston.
And Gloria Pelos in Edison, New Jersey.
And Asher in Gates Mills, Ohio.
And Patrick McLaughlin in Garland, Texas.
And happy birthday, Zach Sims over in Atlanta.
And congratulations to Mark and Lonnie for getting engaged in Lawrence, Kansas. This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon and Spotify and Beyond Meat. Nick also owns stock of Beyond Meat and Apple.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you, like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.